Mike Reiss is a world-renowned celebrity and fashion photographer who's worked with the top models and entertainers. But we'll always know him as the director of one of our favorite cult films, Star Booty.
A few years before Drag Race became a hit, RuPaul wrote and starred in Star Booty, a sequel to the low-budget videos she made with her friends in the mid-80s that were sold out of shopping carts at gay bars in Atlanta, Georgia.
The movie can't be found anywhere. It includes RuPaul doing her best Diane Carroll impersonation, gratuitous nudity, and a sex scene between Lady Bunny and Ru. Today, Mike Reiss joins us to take a look back at directing RuPaul's outrageous cult film Star Booty, which gave us the notorious filter for season one of Drag Race and being the April May cover stud for Out Magazine.
Listen as Mike shares with us stories of being a guest judge on RuPaul's Drag Race for six seasons, shooting Kathy Griffin and Puppies and Pecs, a pinup calendar to benefit rescue dogs.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Before we begin, let's play a scene from Star Booty between RuPaul, Candace Kane, and a young ingenue, Jasmine Jimenez, who plays Cornisha in the film. See if you can follow this. In the scene between Ru and Candace, Ru reveals to Candace Kane that Cornisha, her lover, has actually been her daughter all along. And Candace turns the tables on both of them by revealing that she sold their body parts to rich celebrities for surgical dismemberment.
Annika, if you think you're gonna wreck my world the same way you did when we were kids growing up at the orphanage, think again. I still got a few cards left in my sleeve. It was because of you that I lost all that weight and went on to become the number one supermodel of the world. Hello, and if you think you're gonna win this time, you won't win. Hell to the no. No.
45 minutes from now, you will be dissected into little bits of raw flesh. In fact, I've already got a wealthy female rapper who's bought the rights to those long legs of yours. Well, they'll never call her Lil again.
That's hilarious. However, I have proof. I have proof that you and I were brought to the orphanage on the very same day, by the very same mother.
What the fuck are you talking about?
You're my sister, kabitch! Kaboom! And Cornisha, would any of this make a difference to you if you knew that your biological mother was in this room at this very moment?
Which one of you bitches is my mother?
No! No, no, no! It can't be. No.
Mommy?
I was 17. I was alone. Confused. There's no way I could keep a baby.
My lover? Is my real mother?
Mm-hmm. That little baby you dropped off at St. Tiffany's is now the very same young woman whose pussy you've already brokered to Varushka Vandervolt.
That's a lie. Annika would never do that to me. Tell her. Go on, tell her.
Well,
Annika, you wouldn't.
Actually, I'm afraid I would.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mike Reiss?
It is.
My name's Cupcake. What's yours?
Oh, God.
What's your street name, Mike?
Perrineville Road.
What?
So, yeah. What's my street name?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean my street name? I don't know. I haven't been on the streets for a while, so.
Hector. I bet you're a Hector on the streets.
Hector Extravaganza. I don't know what the connotations are to either of those, but okay.
Hi. It's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's great. Thanks for having me on again.
One of my favorite things you've ever done in your entire life is the film Star Booty.
Mine too.
Really?
Yeah, I you know, like in hindsight, I've been very reflective lately being in quarantine. Since I've been in quarantine, I've been thinking a lot, like, you know what, you know, because people always ask me what, you know, who's your favorite celebrity and what's your favorite job? And I, you know, like it's usually, you know, the most recent thing that I've done. But, you know, having all this time in quarantine, I've kind of really been looking at the big picture. And I have to say Star Booty was like the most fun I've had on a project from beginning to end. Yeah. It was, you know, just in hindsight, like I just, you know, that Maya Angelou saying that, you know, people forget what you do and what you say, but they'll always remember how you feel, how you make them feel. Yeah. Well, that when I think back to that project just makes me feel warm and fuzzy. I don't know what it is. It just does. We had so much fun. There was so much positive stuff surrounding it, you know, like while we were shooting it, while we were promoting it. It was probably the highlight of my career, to be honest with you.
Well, certainly it's a magical time. And, you know, the project Star Booty laid the groundwork for what RuPaul's Drag Race came to be. And you guys pioneered the season one filter in the film Star Booty.
We did.
Yeah.
We did. That's right. We did. We did. I mean, we did it in post, but yeah, we, it's funny. That's exactly right. Like I was just watching Star Booty, like clips of it the other day, and I was like saying, "Wow, that's like Drag Race lighting. That's pretty good lighting for like a $3 movie that we shot on like on our, you know, handheld video camera."
In my mind, I always thought that you were the director of the first season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and that's why they kept that Gaussian blur saturation overlay effect. If you
it's
guys are listening,
just notice season one lighting. That's
If you guys are listening to this right now, you're Photoshop experts. If you want to recreate RuPaul's effect, all you got to do is duplicate the layer, blur it about 50%, and then set it to overlay, and that is the effect.
Voila! That was the gift I gave them for season one.
Now, how did you get roped in the project? Like, did RuPaul go up to you in a nightclub and be like, "My name's Cupcake"? Wash yours.
No, I was working with World of Wonder before I met Ru. I was working with Christine W. Like, Christine W. was one of the first people I ever worked with in my career.
Oh, wow. We've had her in the home studio.
I mean, I have like a 20-something-year, 25-year history with her. Mm. And, you know, she was working with World of Wonder at the time, and they introduced me to RuPaul, and I shot Ru a couple of times for some on-set video stuff, Ru asked me to direct his video for "Looking Good, Feeling Gorgeous."
Yeah,
was that it? Feeling good, looking gorgeous.
Yeah.
Can't remember.
That's it. I remember that video.
Yeah, and from that experience, he said, "Let's do a movie." Because he was talking to me about Star Booty, and I said, "Oh, we should shoot a movie and just go run around like 12th Street and like get all these like drag queens to be hookers and stuff." And
Ru loves her hookers.
Yeah, and you know, like all the porn stars, you know, hauling their schlongs out and stuff. It was fun. It was good.
Hey, Pepper, who's this big old long-legged gal?
Oh, hey, Alestra. Hey, girls, there's a new girl on the block I want to introduce you to. She go by the name of Cupcake.
That's right. That's who I am. Word. Holla. Hey. What's your name?
Tanisha. I'm stupid.
Oh. What's your name, him?
I'm Kim Shay. I'm the spicy one.
Oh, you the spicy one, huh?
Yes.
Like what? You like flavors all spicy and shit?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, girl. What's your name, him?
Oh, Lestra.
What that mean?
Half the motherfucking calories.
Okay. Rock. Missing.
It's one of the most outrageous things RuPaul's ever done. And I love it so much. And I remember like when it came out, people were like, it was considered a camp classic, and kind of like AJ and the Queen also had mixed reviews, right? And now you cannot find a copy of Star Booty anywhere. Is it like George Lucas in the Star Wars Holiday Special? Is RuPaul trying to hide it?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like he should like redo a re-release of it or something.
Oh,
because it's most people like either know me from Drag Race or they know me from Star Booty.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I get so many like people quoting Star Booty to me.
And so in terms of like those scenes, I mean, the movie is very outrageous. It has sex scenes between RuPaul and Lady Bunny.
Oh, I'm really going to enjoy having a parting my spam castanets.
Sounds scrumptious.
And now, cut rate, it's curtains for you. As in, my beef curtains.
As gratuitous nudity, violence, where RuPaul pulls out a gun and shoots Michael Lucas's boner off.
Mm-hmm. Farting, and what, Ari Gold's face, was it?
Oh yeah, just everything. Like, mm-hmm. every offensive thing you can put in a movie, we put it in.
I think it's one of my most endearing things. It's when the world fell in love with RuPaul all over again. It's such a magical, I don't know if we can make this kind of movie or release it, mm-hmm. in this day and age, but it's just something so precious and wonderful.
Star Booty 2.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruse Revenge.
I mean, that would be, I would love to do, you know, it's funny. I always thought that would be the next project, you know, after Drag Race, mm-hmm. like that's what the next project would be to do a big Hollywood version of Star Booty 2, mm-hmm. you know, like get a great director, you know, AKA me. And,
hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
And, you know, and just, but haul out like all the big, you know, drag queens and other stars and, you know, just make it like a crazy camp fest. Like, I really thought that was coming, but
you need some time travel in there or some witches.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Aliens. Oh,
let
yeah,
me ask you this about Star Booty. You had the one character, Star Booty's niece, who would go, Anthony Star Booty.
What have you done with Cornisha?
Well, it looks like our dinner guest has just arrived.
Hello. Hello, Auntie. Nice outfit. You look like a whore. As usual.
I heard that the actress that did that, she didn't come in to redub her lines or something, and so somebody else just did it for, is that how it went?
Yeah. Well, that's exactly what happened. Like, a couple of them just like went MIA in the middle of filming. Like, she did all her filming, but then never came back for the dubbing. But then one of the drag queens is conspicuously missing. You know, like, there was that posse of drag queens at the beginning, and one of them, what was her name? Kimchi. Kimchi just, like, mysteriously disappears, like, halfway through the movie. And just because she stopped showing up. Like, she just stopped showing up for shooting.
Not the Chicago Kimchi that was on RuPaul's Drag
Race. She wasn't even born yet.
This is another drag queen that was also under the name Kimchi.
That was her character's name. She wasn't Kimchi in real life.
That's too.
It was her character's
name. And so the voice, mm-hmm. the voice that did the dubbing, the Anthony Starboni, was she like putting that on, or was that her real accent? Because That was a guy.
Yeah, I think if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember because I wasn't at the dubbing, but I believe it was the editor, the guy who edited it, who cut the movie.
Okay.
I think it was him. He did like an amazing job because that's what she sounded like.
Oh, she did sound like that?
Yeah, she was just very nasally and, you know.
We thought maybe it was an artistic choice to do that because, you know, it's a B movie and sometimes B movies you throw in those kind of like B movie effects, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, this was... I think they were just trying to match her real voice.
That's hysterical. When we did one of our Kickstarters for our web series, Cooking with Drag Queens, we do like a Kickstarter video to fundraise, and we had a queen come in and do it. And then Faust was just like, just for shits, I'm giving you the Star Booty's niece voice. And she's just like, okay. And then she saw it. She was just like a little bit mortified, but she's like, okay, whatever.
No, she wasn't happy about it.
No?
No. I said, I got her the Star Booty edit. And for me, funny. I'm just like, I just absolutely love so many things about that movie. It's just, you know, and I'm just like been trying to get a copy of it or scenes of it. You like the only way you can get it is spending like $300 on eBay.
Oh, wow.
And you don't know if you're going to get it. You know,
we went to the video shop by our house asking about it. And like we had it, but somebody took it and they stole it. And we're like, damn, because we got a copy as press. Right. When it came out, we were delivered mm-hmm. one. And so we had it. But I think it just died one day or we can't. I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah. They're impossible to come by. Like I don't know why I didn't get like a stack of copies. I literally only have one copy. I just thought it was going to be, you know.
Did you burn it? Do you have a digital in your cloud?
I'll just get one later.
Get that in the cloud, my Ruiz Darbuni. Get it in the cloud.
Well, I definitely should make a copy of it just to, you know, just to have it in case I get, you know.
You got to put that in the Smithsonian.
Totally, 100%.
You know, if it's of artistic and cultural value.
Oh, significance.
Being forced to eat Lady Bunny's vagina.
Yes, crabs and all.
Now, congratulations on being on the cover of Out Magazine.
Oh, thank you.
Coronavirus edition.
Right? God.
Cover girl.
I know, like the one time in my life where, you know, I do something visible, nobody can go out and buy it.
But it's great though.
Did you take the photo yourself?
No, I thought that would be cheesy. I, you know, like doing it myself. I mean, you know, they asked me, like, you know, because, you know, after previous staff working there, you know, they drained all their finances. So yeah, they had huge
turnovers, right?
Yeah, so they had, you know, they're struggling financially. Well, I mean, they didn't have the money to spend on a big elaborate photo shoot. So they asked me if I'd shoot myself, and I didn't feel like it. So I asked my friend Rick Day to do it, and he shot it. So he's an amazing photographer.
Robert Pattinson just, like, he did a photo shoot for himself for, like, one of the magazines. I think it's GQ. I think he took it himself. He doesn't look so good. but you look good.
That's the thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I did that shoot like right before everything got shut down. Mm. So I was lucky. You know, I mean, I probably would have ended up shooting myself, you know, if need be. But fortunately, Rick Day was able to do it. And yeah, but, you know, I know a lot of people are doing, like, shooting themselves for magazines. It's kind of like the cool coronavirus thing to do, but, you know, it all kind of looks like crap to me. Mm-hmm. But I actually did a really cool shoot today with like people in six different countries. We were all on Zoom, and, like, we just orchestrated this fashion shoot, and it was the coolest thing. I mean, we did a really good job. The images look great.
How'd that work? You know, are you taking the photos? Is somebody else taking the photos? You're directing, or...?
It's complicated. I mean, there's a lot of prep that goes into it, but basically, like, the makeup artist developed the makeup. He gave the girls a tutorial before the shoot, and then he walked them through doing their makeup, and the hair guy did the same, walked them through doing their hair, and then the stylist walked them through putting on their outfit, you know, like, zip that up to there and do this. They're both quarantining. One's quarantining with her brother, and the other's quarantining with her boyfriend. So we had somebody hold the laptop and somebody hold an iPhone 11 at the exact same spot that so I could see exactly the angle that they were shooting on the iPhone. So somebody was actually pressing the trigger, but I was directing everything. So it was really cool, and it turned out, like, really.
Who owns that photo now, though? Because that person that pressed, you heard about that gorilla, right? Or the monkey?
the monkey.
The monkey that pressed that, the photo?
The shutter, yeah.
The shutter. And
is he suing for intellectual property?
No, the person who actually owns the camera tried to claim copyright on it. And the people are like, you're not the one who pressed the shutter, so you don't have that. I think that's how it worked or something. But it might still be in the court system. It's kind of like a bit of a limbo because you're just like, you know, just because you physically touched it, what does that even mean? Or this monkey even touched it?
That doesn't mean anything. I mean, if, you know, not to bore you with copyright law, but, you know, whoever's at the helm of the shoot, you know, because there's a lot of big photographers who never touch the camera. I mean, I mean, it's not like a bad thing. It's because they've aspired to such a level where they don't, you know, they set everything up and they literally sit back and watch on a monitor and they direct, like, their assistant to press the button. So, but it's their shoot.
Sure.
So they own it because they're at the helm of it. They're funding it. They were the ones who were hired to do it. It's their vision. So I can see how it'd be tricky with a monkey because it was the monkey's vision. Right?
Yeah.
I can see you, though, at a photo shoot via Zoom going, like, I want to see passion in your eyes. Give me fire. I don't feel it. Yeah. You were working with Billy Porter, MJ Rodriguez, Ruby Rose, and stuff like that. And, like, I imagine these personalities are larger than life. And here you are, you know, you're a very sweet, kind, gentle man. Are the tables turned in that situation?
No, I mean, you know, Ruby, I'd never met before. And, uh-huh. you know, I don't think she knew who I was or anything. So she didn't, you know,
like, cool.
she
didn't give, yeah,
that's yeah, great. Exactly. She's which like, was great. I mean, she's sweet as can be.
From her Twitter account goes, how long is this going to take?
She doesn't like doing photo shoots and stuff. So, but she's sweet as can be. And we totally hit it off talking about animal rescue. So,
oh, good.
She's a big animal. That's usually like a good icebreaker with me.
For people who don't know Ruby Rose, she was the starlet in Orange is the New Black. She became a big star for being the romantic rival to Piper and what was the, I'm blanking out. You know, with the coronavirus pandemic, I've forgotten everybody's name.
Our brains are turning into mush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's terrible, you know. I have to write my own name on the back of my head. But yeah. It was Piper. It was Laura Prepon's romantic rival in the series, and she just exactly. you know she's just stunning.
Is she the Batwoman? Is she
she's the one with the tattoos.
So she's the lesbian Batwoman.
Oh,
she's a lesbian Batwoman, and she was in the John Wick movies, or one of them at least. She was like she had a pretty meaty role in one of the John Wick movies, and she does. I mean, she's done like a million things. I mean, she's all over the place. She's done a ton of stuff, but yeah, like Billy and MJ. You know, I shot the entire cast and all the producers of Pose for Emmy. So like, I got to work with all of them, which was amazing. And they're all like super cool. And you know, like I'm like, you know, I'm old school kind of like gay guy. Like, you know, like I've been around like as long as Billy Porter has. So, you know, like if you're gay, chances are you probably know, you know, who I am peripherally, you know, somehow. So like, you know, MJ, like they were all super cool. Like they were, you know, oh, it's Mike Ruiz, you know, which is sweet. You know, I mean, I love that I resonate with, you know, at least within our community. Kind of means, you know, it means a lot to
me.
They
know you as the judge from seasons 1-6 of RuPaul's Drag Race 2.
Yeah, I mean, I hope they would know me for more than that. But yeah,
they're like
Latin boys.
You sent Jiggly Caliente home. How dare you?
I was always very nice on the show.
Yeah, was there ever like a temptation as a judge on that show to, you know, were the directors like pushing you to you know?
Like, I mean, I'm not to beat my own drum, but I was fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? Like I'm when you put me on the spot like that, like, I don't know what happens to me. I just become like really sharp and like stuff is just flying out of my mouth. Like, and as a matter of fact, like if you listen to it, a lot of the stuff that, you know, cause you know, those we just quips. Had to give sound bites. We had to give those quips and they took them, like sometimes they took them from a different place to allocate to one scene. So like you hear us all talking, but we're not actually responding to what's actually happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes I would figure that you would want to sweeten that scene.
Yeah. So they, you know, so I, you know, like my, like a lot of them are mine. Cause like, I'm just, you know, funny as shit. What can I say? but no, I guess that's why, you know, they had me back for 6 years is cause you know, they knew that they didn't have to like, you know, beat it out of me.
It's a huge shoot, like a huge commitment, because a lot of people don't realize that you're there for quite some time to basically comment on what is essentially 5 minutes on screen.
Yeah, 14 hours is that first episode. Like that judging day is a 14-hour day. We have to go through all the camera angles, you know, like front and back. We have to go through like all the comments for each, and then we have to do, they have to do the relight for the front, the relight for the back. It's a long day, you know, for 13 queens.
Well, one thing I always enjoyed about watching you guys interacting, especially in those early seasons where the celebrity judges were like, what did my publicist get me into? Right. You know, like, especially, I think like, I'm thinking about episodes like with Debbie Allen, or most recently with Chaka Khan, like the judges are kind of just not sure how to react to it. And there's a little bit of nervousness, and it's nice to see these legends there sort of deferring to the drag queens as opposed to the other way around.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like it's all off the cuff, you know, like, I mean, you know, and like, you know, after doing it for even one or two seasons, you kind of get the gist of it. So like when you're thrown into it with people that are a little more seasoned than you, you know, chances are like you got to fight for your airtime and you got to get those quips out. Well, you got to, you know, I mean, it's basically all just like, you know, whoever gets the funniest line or the most, you know, or the most, you know, the most impassioned line is the one that they're going to put in. You know, if they ask all four judges what they think of one, you know, outfit or something, they're probably only going to put in the two best ones. So,
Has there ever been disagreements on who got sent home? And you're just like, I can't believe you guys sent that one home. It's like you kept that one, but you kept, you know.
No, I mean, not with me. I mean, I was, you know, I mean, we'd kind of go back and forth and deliberate but it always would be unanimous at the end.
So it really was a what we see is what we get kind of situation, because yeah, you know, there's so many people weighing in on those kind of things, and they're like, RuPaul really doesn't get to decide and the judges don't really influence, but really is an organic process where you guys are kind of seeing the way that the contestants react to and the challenges they're presented.
Yes. Well, yes, it's a lot, you know, most of it is organic. You know, and the reality too is, you know, they do take, I mean, it is influenced by fan reaction too, you know, like by fan popularity. So we could all be loving one queen and, you know, the fans love somebody else, you know, so that's showbiz. You know what I mean?
But she has 1 million views on Instagram. How can you send her home?
I know it's been a while. Has there ever been a case to your recollection that you're like, oh, this girl's going home, and then you see that lip sync and you're just like, oh, that totally changed my mind?
No, it's usually the other way around. It's like, oh my god, this girl's gonna win, and it's just a lip sync, and I'm like, wah, wah.
That's too funny. Well, you've worked with a lot of other fabulous people, Kathy Griffin, and you guys are thick as thieves. What was the discussion like when Kathy made international news by photographing herself with Donald Trump's severed head?
Yeah, I mean, in hindsight, it's all pretty ridiculous, right? Like, you know, everyone's doing stuff like that now. You know what I mean? Like, it's not. I don't know what the big deal was at the time, but you know, they had to vilify somebody. Mm. You know, of course, you know, like Kathy Griffin is, you know, the leader of the Democrats. You know what I mean? Like, why go after fucking Kathy Griffin? I don't understand. But anyway, it was you know, and I kind of kept in touch. I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe what's happening. You know, and she would text me. She goes, oh, I got to be careful what I text you, because like the CIA is literally like trying, like,
oh Jesus,
like, they're coming.
Yeah,
for
I mean, it was, yeah, it was serious. I mean, they had her. I mean, I allegedly had her, you know, wired, and they were tapping her phones and like doing all this shit. Like she, you know, when she would travel. Well, I don't know if you saw her film. You should watch it. I'm drawing a blank right now.
Are you talking coronavirus. About the concert film that she did afterwards?
The one that's out right now, it's like a hell of a story.
Mm.
It's about all of that. But, you know, she was, every time she would fly to another country, Interpol would take her aside and like put her in a chamber and like interrogate her like she was a terrorist. You know, and it's freaking Kathy Griffin. I mean, really. I mean,
my life, I mean, on the D-list.
What a waste of taxpayers'
dollars.
She was in
dollars. Suddenly Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? She went from that to, like, you know, international terrorism.
Yeah, it's just, it's wild. But you know what? And I think in the end, it kind of worked out for her, because sank her stock so low that she was able to buy back all of her TV shows, like My Life on the D-List, for like probably like next to nothing. So she owns all that now. And now, you know, she goes to her concerts. Well, not now, but her concerts were all sold out throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she made her money.
Yeah. I mean, she's. Trust me, she's doing all right.
Her neighbors were Kim Kardashian, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I mean, she's gonna be doing okay, right?
Yeah, she's doing just fine.
But she hasn't put out like a petition to the government to give her a grant or something to survive during the coronavirus pandemic.
She did not get the stimulus package.
I heard that in LA they extended the stay-at-home order now up to possibly August.
Oh God, really?
Yeah. And Ellen DeGeneres, she's not happy about it. And, you know, of course you've seen her on social media, And she's finally issued a statement about all these people issuing reports. And I guess there was this Twitter thread where people were leaving their Ellen stories and people are saying how difficult it was to work with her. And so she just said that it was sour grapes. What'd you make of that?
I don't know. I mean, you know, everyone has a bad day. I don't know, Ellen. You know, I mean, I've heard that. I don't want to discredit anyone's feelings about how they feel about another person. You know, I mean, the reality is when you get to that level, like, people just want a piece of you all the time. You know, like, I've barely made it up to like her left toe. You know what I mean? And so the brunt of like what I feel, which is negligible compared to what she must get, you know, if people are like, oh, I want this for free and that and then, you know, can you hook me up with this and that and the other? You know, like, it's constant. So I can imagine, like, you just have to develop like this thing. And people make the terrible assumption, like, you know, when you go up to, like, people used to come up to me, for example, in the street and grab me by the back of my shirt and pull me back and say, come across the street to take a selfie with my friends.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I say, get your fucking hands off of me. And then I see on the internet, Mike Ruse is a fucking asshole because, you know what I mean? So, like, what? You know, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. So, you know, like, I don't know what Ellen, maybe she didn't buy them a car, you know, so she's, you know, but I don't know. But, you know, also at that level, like, shit needs to get done. So you may not mince, you may not, like, you know, talk to everyone with kid gloves. You might say, okay, you do this and you do that. And, you know, it needs to be done by, I mean, she's producing like 800 shows on TV, you know, and she doesn't have time to, like, coddle everybody.
Well, you know, you've made it when, you know, there's a website dedicated to saying you suck.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm applying for food stamps and, you know, government bonds and all the kinds of shit, you know, it's like, and it, like, even Aretha Franklin, she had to do Pizza Hut ads because she was broke at one point in time. I think there's this idea that, like, if somebody's in the public spotlight that they're, you know, comfortable and everything's easy for them, but, you know, you just have a lot more attention.
Alan's clearly a millionaire.
Yes, yes. But yeah, I'm talking about just everybody's predicament, you know, and so in the age of social media, everybody's weighing in on each other's actions and deeds.
Yeah, I used to be guilty of that too, you know, like, oh God, you know, why should you, you know, like, post stuff? But I mean, I continuously do it about Trump because, you know, of course, that's a no-brainer. I mean, he deserves every malicious thing that anyone would ever have to say about him. But, like, as far as other people go, like, you know, like, I don't do it anymore because, like, I know what it feels like, you know, when people come for me. Like, I mean, even with this out cover, like, people I don't even know come for me in the most hateful, like, malicious ways that clearly have nothing to do with me or that cover. It has to do with how they feel about their lives and themselves, you know, because they're projecting all this shit on me. But, you know, I'm ultra sensitive. It's bothersome, you know, and it's you know, like, it hurts sometimes.
It's true, and I think a lot of that kind of comes from jealousy. Fausto and I, early on in our podcasting career, I think way back in 2005, we were featured in Out Magazine, and we were also featured with some other podcasters, but because they focused on us, those other podcasters were so jealous and so angry. We lost friendships because of it. We were demonized because of it. And it was just like, you know, they were just going to write the article about us. And they're like, do you know any other podcasters? So we were like, hey, our friends are also doing it too. So we invited them to participate in it. And for whatever reason, they thought, you know, they were going to be the focus of it or something. And then it was just like, And it was like years of people coming for us just because of that one stupid article. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's people are just petty, you know, and I mean,
in some ways, it's a gift, you know, because that person's like removing themselves out of your life, you know. And I think about like all the hard feelings and time and energy wasted had those individuals stayed part of our lives. You know, man's rejection is God's protection. And when somebody, you know, clearly makes it impossible for you to contain a relationship with them, it's sometimes for the best.
Oh, absolutely. You know, like, you know, yeah, it's always the case in hindsight, but, you know, at the time it stings a little. And, you know, you also have to remember the minuscule minority of people who are the most vocal, you know, I mean, they're the most visible. So it seems like, you know, if 40 people come for you online, it seems like the whole world's coming for you, but the other 80 million people who really support you, you know, are not going to take time out of their day to like post a 5-page, you know, expose on you, you know, on Instagram or on Facebook. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, so you have to remember, like, the
unless
people who are the most vocal are the minuscule minority of what?
Unless you have an OnlyFans page.
Oh, yeah. They're coming for you. They're coming on you.
Yeah. I mean, part of it is like, you know, I want to rethink about this whole idea of, you know, pornography and nudity and stuff, because it's like a lot. I'm noticing that a lot of these reality TV stars are turning, you know, their social media profiles into very sexually explicit images. And you are a gorgeous man. I mean, you are a silver daddy. You look fantastic. But I imagine that, you know, there is a line that you have to ask yourself and cross when you're posting pictures of yourself in Instagram and Facebook is, how much skin am I going to show? What am I going to show? Yeah. And because your fans are going to be, you know, encouraging you to bear it all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, not, I don't, it's not like I might, they're beating down my door to post nude selfies of me, but,
I'm sure there are people out there who would be very thrilled to see
maybe,
a lot, if as maybe, why I say
but,
it.
But, yeah. But nobody would ever expect that from me. So it's not like, you know, they're like, oh no, you know, it's not like it's not in people's consciousness. I mean, every once in a while, I'll post a selfie from the gym, you know, with my shirt off and, you know, and, but, aside from that, you know, like I'm not really known for posting a lot of stuff of me.
Mm-hmm. Well, some of these drag queens from RuPaul's Drag Race weren't, and now all of a sudden they've got OnlyFans, you know, accounts and their Twitter feed. You're like, oh my, that's what they were talking.
Oh, what, the queens from Drag Race?
Oh, there's a couple of them. Oh, yeah,
quite a few. Yeah, there's
and other reality TV shows. Too.
You just have to Google the term "naked" and your favorite drag queen, and odds are you're going to find something out there.
Well, that's like a huge. Do you know when I first moved to the United States from Canada when I was 18 or 19 years old? Uh-huh. I lived with a trans prostitute in Hollywood, in LA.
Oh wow.
And like I went from being sheltered in you know, I grew up in the countryside of Montreal, like not exposed to anything, to because my brother had left home years before and he befriended this wonderful girl, and I went to live with, you know, I had to get away from home, so I went to live with her for a little while, but it was too
did she bring clients home?
Too much. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, and some of them didn't know she was trans, and they'd beat the crap out of her. And I'd have to throw like pots of boiling water on them to get them off of her. And
so, my god!
Yeah, it was too much. It was. I had to. You know, I only stayed literally probably like a month, and then I left because it was. I was like, oh god, this is not the road I want to go down.
It's hard to be somebody's pimp when you don't want to be there, when you don't know you're signing up to be their pimp.
Yeah, and you know, like her friends would come over and like shoot up and stuff, and I was like, oh god, this is not good for me. You know, thank God I had the good sense to, you know, to know the difference. So I moved to New York, where, you know, things were worse.
It's like your life is kind of like an Andy Warhol film.
Oh god, it's something, all right. It's like I don't know, a Stephen King novel.
Well, most you first kind of got famous for your work in Latin Boys Go to Hell. I remember when that movie first hit the scene, and it was 97.
Yep.
So it's been a while.
Yeah, it's 23 years. But I was shooting before then. I was, as a matter of fact, like I had just come from a shoot. I remember this because it was, you know, it was. It's unforgettable. I just finished shooting J-Lo for the first cover of Latina magazine. You know, J-Lo had just done Money Train, hadn't come out yet, you know, and she was, you know, everyone was buzzing about her. She was going to be the next big thing. And I just come for a shoot, and I was in an elevator on my way to my syndication agent. And this woman comes up to me and says, you want to be in a movie? And I was like, give me your card. And she gave me her card, and I never called her. and she cast somebody else in that movie. It's Tony Ward, actually. She cast Tony Ward, but he evidently he was too Italian. You know, he came off too Italian, and she really needed someone that came off a little more Latino. So she found
wanted,
me.
Tacos, not pizza.
Exactly. I was trying to think of it. She wanted taquitos, not sausage.
She wanted chorizo. What are the Italians?
Chorizo, not Italian sausage.
Capricorn.
Right. Right. And I get my chorizo cut off at the end in front of me. So.
Oh.
Do you remember that? I don't know. Did you ever see it?
I did see it. I saw it when it first came out. But I'm like, God, to be honest with you, it's been so many years.
Yeah, like I think Mark saw it when it was a black and white
film. I think
it
came out around the same time as Hustler White. I may have seen them like around the same time.
Yep, right. Exactly. It came out not long after Hustler White.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tony Ward left like after he didn't do Land Boys Go to Hell, but he went on to do that other one. I think it was Hustler White. Is that where there's the
Yeah, he was actually in Hustler White. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
That was 96, so maybe that was right before, right?
Yeah. It was all around the same time. I remember all that Bruce LaBruce stuff. And then, you know, like at all the gay film festivals, like we'd just be hopping around together. Like I would see all those guys at the film festivals and stuff.
Well, it's almost like you occupy the same cultural space as Madonna's backup dancers from, Truth or Dare, you know?
Oh,
people remember and idolize.
Yeah, it's like back, you know, you're kind of like the sex icon of the queer indie film scene from the late 90s, you know?
Am I? I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I always wondered if you ever like hung out with some of these other like Tony Ward or Madonna's backup dancers and shared your own stories.
I didn't. Directly, I mean, it wasn't like, it's not like we all like hung out because we all, you know, we're all from the same stock at that point. Mm-hmm. But I ended up shooting Tony Ward for a bunch of stuff and we kind of became friendly. And Luis, one of the Madonna's backup dancers, was in a show with my boyfriend at the time. So I befriended him and we stayed in touch for a few years after that. But it wasn't like we'd all sit around and talk about like what pop culture space we occupied at the time.
Yeah, I'm sure that nobody was like going like, well, do you think that the breakdown of gender and, you know, roles and people just having fun and really excited at a time to, you know, have a queer spotlight that you could be in. You know, so many like you guys were kind of like the first pioneers in being sexual and being in the spotlight and not being in porn.
Right. And that's what I, you know, in hindsight, like as you're going through your life, you don't know what, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know if you're making a difference or having any impact, but I've come to realize that, you know, like, because I'm so like pro, you know, and outwardly gay all the time and everything I did, I feel like I might've laid the groundwork for some, you know, for the younger generation to just, you know, to kind of live their truth. Cause I mean, that's what I was doing. I wasn't like, I'm going to live my truth. You know, I didn't consciously decide to do that. It just kind of happened. But,
well, I'll tell you this, we met you right when the Star Booty film was going out. We interviewed you and RuPaul here in Chicago. And, you know, both of you guys were so sweet, so humble, so kind. I remember Rue just being like, I don't know if I'm going to retire soon or what's going to happen. Like there was just a lot of like, there were simpler times in some ways. We didn't have social media weighing down on us and now it just seems like a lot of people aren't as experimental. You know, they're right. More cautious now, ironically, even though we have so much visibility, people are very guarded in how they express themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's a byproduct of being overly PC, and it's also a byproduct of catering to the new media. You know, like, we didn't have any media that we had to cater to back then. You know, now we have to do everything in 30-second quick clips. And it can't be suggestive because they'll ban you from Instagram or they'll ban you from TikTok. You know what I mean? So like you're dumbing yourself down to cater to some corporate idea of what, you know, of some corporate standard of what's acceptable, you know, and I'm, that's, it's exhausting to me, you know, like I'm tired of, I get so offended every time TikTok knocks one of my videos off because, you know, it's all art. Like I'll post like a beautiful, like body painted model, like doing this cool dance that I edited to like, you know, crazy music, and they'll ban it because, and you know, and I literally have to appeal every single thing. Anyway, it's a whole other thing, but,
well,
but
yeah,
it's just,
TikTok,
it's exhausting.
Is basically a platform for the Chinese government to push propaganda into Western countries, but that's another topic.
Right. But so is, but you know, but so is Facebook. So is Instagram. Yeah. It's all to push some like a handful of people's propaganda. That's all it is.
Yeah. And part, you know, of it is, and like, they, it's unnerving. And for me, it's like, you know, I almost don't want to participate in them because like I get demoralized. I'm just like, why even bother being on Twitter? You know, it just, to me, I'm just like, it's, you know, I'm fighting for attention with Donald Trump, you know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, right. Oh, you know, what, how do you, how, yeah, holding, how do you keeping yourself above, head above water and during the coronavirus pandemic?
Mentally?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I live down near Princeton, New Jersey now. I don't live in the city anymore. Yeah. So, you know, we have property and I have a dog and husband and, you know, we have room to run around. And, you know, so like I'm very fortunate that I'm not confined to an apartment, you know, and there's, you know, so I can exercise and I can do, you know, I can do a fair amount of stuff here. So I don't feel, it's actually kind of, it's been a kind of sort of vacation for me. I mean, it's, I know it's a terrible thing for a lot of people, but it's kind of made me, you know, kind of appreciate simple things and, you know, take better care of myself. And, you know, when you're limited by a lot of stuff. So, I mean, I've been doing that and just not going down the rabbit hole, you know, like, I don't go down the rabbit hole of discussions on the pandemic, you know, political discussions, because there's no winning. There's no point to doing any of it. You're not changing anything. You know, like, you know, I appreciate people who need to voice their opinion, but to me, it just sucks the life out of me when I'd rather be doing other stuff. Like, I can't get into like 4-hour conversations with somebody I don't even know about why, you know, Hillary's emails don't matter anymore.
Well, it's almost like you're doing customer service for TikTok or Facebook in arguing with people you don't know. And I'm just like, hey, where's my check for, you know, engaging some random stranger in a conversation?
Exactly. That's, you know, the other thing. I'm just using them for, you know, they're just, it's all a means to an end to me. Like, yeah. I'm not invested in it. You know, like, I'm not like, I must succeed on TikTok or Instagram. I don't give a crap. I use it, you know, I suck it dry for what everything it benefits me for. And then I don't, you know, but I'm not like invested. If they pulled my page off tomorrow, like I wouldn't lose any sleep over it.
Suck me dry. Eh?
I suck them dry and then leave them for dead.
Well, do you have like a gym in your house or are you like, how are you working out?
I have 6 different resistance bands, 4 hand weights and a couple of broomsticks. And can I tell you, I've been having the best workouts of my life. I've been so, this pandemic is going to be, it's going to spawn so much innovation. I guarantee you, like on how people conduct business, how people just function in so many different ways. And like, that includes working out. Like I see so many people online just coming up with these like amazing workouts with like 2 or 3 little things, you know, like, which goes to show you how we're sold a bill of goods in this country that we need all this shit that we don't need. You know, we don't need any of it. Like I have been getting the best workouts of my life, literally with a broomstick and 2 rubber bands.
What are you doing with a broomstick
and rubber bands?
I'm almost afraid to ask.
Well, you know, the resistance bands, and you know, you like, I stand on the band and I put the broomstick through each side and I do, you know, I can do curls. I can put the broomstick. I have a deck. I have a deck with a rafter that I throw the resistance band over the rafter and I do pull downs. I can do curls. I can do tricep things. I can even put the resistance bands time around my feet and then put the top end over my shoulder and I can do squats. And then with the broomstick, it just, you know, I can do all of that stuff with a wider grip. I mean, I'd have to show you. It's probably not, you're probably not getting a visual of of it, but
I have a general idea.
I do like imagining you sweating.
Maybe will we find these on your Instagram?
I'm sorry?
Will we find these on your Instagram?
No, I've been meaning to post them because I've been coming up with some really good stuff. Like, I'm sure that some fitness people would want to know about. So I think I might, as a community service, I think I might post a few.
I appreciate that. I do miss the social aspect of the gym. I know a lot of people are like, I only go to the gym and work out. And be like, you know, I have friends at the gym that I talk to and I say chat and I say hi to and stuff. And it's nice to have that different equipment. But it has gotten me to do something I've always hated doing. And that's jogging. So I've been trying to do that for the past few days because I'm just like, this COVID-19 is the 19 is the pounds and it needs to come off.
No, that's why they called it that. It's the COVID-19, like the freshman 10.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Girl, I've eaten so much bread and so much cookies and I'm like, who am I? I don't even recognize myself.
You know, this is just like a 3 month long reset for humanity. And like, hopefully we'll take all the good that's come from it, like the carbon footprint stuff and all of that, and just move forward in a much healthier, positive way, you know, or, you know, the three people in power could just decimate the planet. That's the way I look at it.
Last week we had a full moon here in Chicago, and it was so clear and it was so bright. I don't think I've ever seen the moon this bright in the city, just because there was very little air pollution to block it. And I was just like, you really do see the little rabbit in the moon, you know?
Yeah.
So, and incredible. Hopefully we can take some of these lessons, like you said, into the future with our carbon footprint.
Yeah. Well, it all starts with us. You know, just like implement stuff ourselves and talk about it.
How are your puppies? You're very active in the dog world and dog rescues, and you produce a calendar pretty much. How many years now have you done a calendar with pecs and puppies?
I call it a different thing every year. This will be the sixth year, and I'm in thralls of casting it. You know, and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So like the guys that I have, like, it's a 12-month calendar, and I have like 30 of the most incredible guys like in the world. I mean, like, I should send you these, like, the list of guys that I have.
Hello.
Yeah, this year like blows all the other years away. You know, there's always like a couple of really hot guys and two or three okay guys, and, you know, just some guys that are, you know, supportive of the cause and stuff. But like this year, like, A, they're all super accomplished, like surgeons and lawyers and this and that, and like the most beautiful. I don't know where these guys came from. Honestly, like, I don't know who spawned these children, but they're unbelievable. You know, and I'm just grateful that they're willing to participate in this. You know, because that's what makes it successful, and
they're,
it helps so many
shiny
dogs. And,
do you guys put like a baby oil on them, or is it
Scott Barnes Cosmetics is the sponsor this year, and has been every year, but more visible this year. And, you know, he makes that stuff called Body Bling that J Lo wears.
Body bling, and it's like skin shininess.
It gives them this golden, bronzy, sort of iridescent quality that when you hit it with light, looks like that, like what you see in those images. It's incredible. Yeah.
And in the past, you've also called it biceps and bullies. Bullies and biceps.
Yeah, bullies and biceps. Bullies being bully breeds of dogs, which are pit bull type dogs. And then some years I called it hunks and hounds, pecs and pups. This year I'm calling it pecs and pitties. Pitties being like a nickname for pit bull type dogs. Yeah.
Where can people catch these beautiful hunks and their pups?
Well, this year we're benefiting I'm going to be shooting the calendar in July, and it comes out in October. And I will be posting links on my Instagram page as to where they can get the calendars. But it is benefiting an organization called Pitties and Pals. It's pittiesandpals.org here in New Jersey, and they're a wonderful rescue, and they do so much, and they're just like so passionate, and they're very transparent about where the money goes, and I really, really like them. So that's why I'm supporting this year. with the calendar. So, but I'm going to, you know, as time goes on, I'm going to be posting, you know, and also like, I'm going to be announcing like who the guys are over the course of the next couple of weeks. So like, if everyone wants to see what, you know, like this insane lineup, you know, they can definitely check my Instagram page out.
How's that going to work though? Are you guys going to be like self-quarantining before the photo shoot?
Well, I'm aiming to shoot second to third week in July.
Yeah.
You know, if it's safe enough, and yeah, we're gonna do social distancing. I did a shoot recently that's on my Instagram page of how I would do a shoot. Like I've done three shoots already this way, and it's all social distancing. You know, it's kind of like the shoot that I was telling you at the beginning. It's, you know, we just basically all get on Zoom and direct each other, and basically the model doesn't touch anybody.
The makeup artist directs them. So they show up naked.
Yeah, no, they should. They, you know, they can undress themselves. They don't. They can touch themselves. Nobody else can touch them. Is the thing, you know, these circumstances.
Well, that's right. So in the past, they were like, you had a Magenta and Columbia ripping their clothes off.
Yeah, exactly.
Slowly, too nice a jump to rush.
Yeah, that's pretty much the Rocky Horror Picture Show scenario every year. But this year's gonna be, you know, I mean, who knows, you know, we might have different protocol by the time it rolls around. I'm not shooting it for a couple of months, so that gives us some time to figure out. Yeah, and if need be, I'll just do it like super you know, like with like social distancing and everything. But I'm gonna do it. I mean, it's gonna happen because these poor dogs need you know, all the help they can get at this point. You know, because after the pandemic is over, all the people who thought it was so cool to foster and adopt a dog, you know, to keep them from spiraling into insanity, they're all going to dump their dogs back off at the shelter.
I sure hope not.
I do. I hope so, too. I mean, the percentage, you know, I'm sure some people have fallen in love with their dogs, but there's going to be a relatively high percentage of people who are going to return. Yeah. Who are going to return the dogs? It's just a fact.
Yeah. Well, can we adopt also the hunks as well?
You can. They'll make a house call. But, you know, with social distancing and stuff, you'll have to wear a full body condom.
I can handle that.
I can do that.
Yeah. Like, oh, trust me, when you see these guys, you'll want to.
Bubble.
Exactly.
Just stick your hand through the rubber glove.
Just back and forth.
Mike, it's been so great catching up with you, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well and surviving this pandemic, and glad to see you in Out Magazine.
Oh, thank you so much. Hey, before I forget, yeah. Can I do one little plug?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm also working with this company that there's a few artists. I'm like the main artist right now, and we all provide our artwork that goes on mass-produced things like t-shirts and cups and stuff, and 25% of my sales are going to go to the Ali Forney Center and the Stand Up for Pitts Foundation, two of my favorite LGBT organization, my other favorite pit bull advocacy foundation. So those are like, so the, and it's called Social Impact, social impak,
okay,
.us. No, .com. I'm getting all my things.
You're giving me like 10 different websites.
Oh my God. I'm just going to have to like text them all to you. Okay,
so, no, go to MikeRees.com or Mike Rees on Instagram, you know, and you'll have the links.
Okay. All this information is on my Instagram page. It's MikeRees1. Yes.
What happened to the original one?
There probably is another one already.
There's another one. He's a food blogger from Saratoga.
Oh really? Another Mike Ruiz?
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Well, there is another Mike Ruiz.
Yeah,
there is another guy who comments all the time on my page. So every time he posts something, I'm like, oh, thank you, me.
That's so nice. So you guys are like friends with each other?
Yeah, you know, I call him the other Mike. So hey, other Mike Ruiz.
Yeah, I see. I saw him. He's like, there's a photo of him hugging his baby.
His what?
He's like the heterosexual version of you.
Is he? I don't know.
Yeah, he has a his Instagram has a photo of him as a baby. So don't go to Mike Ruiz. Go to Mike Ruiz 1.
O-N-E, spelled out.
Oh, O-N-E.
Yeah, MikeRuizOne.
Mike, it's so good talking to you. You're such a sweet guy. And of course, we love having you on the show. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much. And thanks for having me. And hopefully it won't be another 10 years before I talk to you again.
Hopefully.
Come back often.
Oh, I'm going to. Oh. Calling you tomorrow to book another appointment.
Yeah, because share with me your taquito recipes.
Yeah, because I'll have a ton of new stories by then.
Oh, what are you cooking right now?
Well, my beloved husband, Wayne, has been making meal prep. Like, he's been doing our meal prep, you know, so we eat, like, super healthy. So he's a great cook, and he's been doing that. And it was our first anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations! 11th.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been married a whole year, and they said, "What do you ask?"
Chicken breast and rice again.
Yeah, it's all utilitarian at this point.
You're not going like fajitas.
No, are you kidding? That's a slippery slope for me. If I go down that road, it's. Yeah, I'm going to have to...
I'm going to drink a margarita tonight.
Oh, you go.
Yes, Mama. Yeah. Mama Roo!
Thank you, Mike.
Take care,
Thank
Mike.
Thank you guys Bye. So much.
Bye-bye. All right,
take care.
Mike Reese lives in New Jersey.
Princeton, New Jersey.
Princeton, New Jersey, where the home of the Princeton Review,
mm-hmm.
where you can prepare for the SAT.
I think there's also a university there, too,
right? Oh, yeah.
Which one is actually
That there. Was where the Cosby kids Rutgers? Went to.
I don't know.
That's where Theo from the Cosby Show went.
He didn't go to a historically black university?
I'm sorry, that was where the oldest daughter, Sandra, went to, and that's where she met her boyfriend, and Bill Cosby didn't like that. It's 80s it's trivia.
You can check out Mike Ruiz and the April and May edition of Out Magazine, wherever magazines are sold, or you can check it out online.
And follow Mike Ruiz on Instagram.com. It's like Mike Ruiz 1. Not Mike Ruiz. That's a dad with his baby. So if you see it and you see, oh, my God, Mike Ruiz has a baby. Wrong account.
Wrong cut. I want to remind folks that we can't do this podcast without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen. You can also follow us on Patreon, patreon.com/feastoffun.
I'm surprised I've never done it. Mutts and muscle.
Maybe that's coming.
You know, that's a great calendar and great images. There's tons of really good ones all over the internet. If you just search for, like, Mike Ruiz dogs and muscle, it's not going to have something that's going to scare you. It's very tasteful photos of very attractive, muscular men with adorable little dogs.
It's not pup play.
Woof.
Woof.
Thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye-bye.